Save on quality sofas, sectionals, top brand mattresses, and more during Haverty's President's Day sale. Find the style of furniture you've been looking for at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The people on this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about, so please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation, as it's just opinion. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast. It's the weekend podcast. It's episode 21421. We don't know quite a few of them. 421, that's what it is. And down there, different parts of the country, in Gaselmere, it's Pete.
Yeah, hello.
And in Cardiff, it's Capital Wales, it's Steve.
Toodles.
You're all right, fellas. What does toodles mean? That reminds me of Mickey Mouse, Clubhouse. That's in my head. It's like a worm in my head because Monty watches it so much. Unbelievable. I'm in Mickey Clubhouse. Toodles. And Toodles is a character in that.
Okay.
Wow. Anyway.
Yeah, it's amazing. There's a survey out recently saying that more people would recognize Mickey Mouse than Barack Obama.
And, no.
Well, I think Mickey Mouse should be president because he'd do a better job than Donald Trump. What an imbecile. Did you see him this week talking about Apple? When he's talking about Apple, he was standing up, he said, boycott Apple. I just thought of that. Boycott Apple. And he said, while he was standing there, he thought he was brilliant. But I was saying, I just, what do you think of that? I just thought of that. Boycott Apple. Then he texted that out and tweeted it out on an Apple phone. He said, boycott Apple, everyone. And he said, come up on his Apple phone. Yeah, Donald, you're using the Apple phone, mate. Oh, okay, I'll use a different phone. The thing is, what you don't understand is most people don't have two different phones on two different networks. Story practical. This is a man. Can you believe that, though? A man who stands up and says, ban Muslims from America, right? Now, if I said that on the podcast, I'd get in trouble. He says that in front of the entire United States of America, in front of the world. And yet, the Americans have a good chance of voting that guy in. Yeah. Get Mickey Mouse in. He's more recognised and more people like him.
The wall thing is the amazing thing. And the Mexico wall that he keeps banging on about.
Are we going to build a wall? Are we going to build a wall?
He just keeps going, build a wall! It's like the most basic of immigration kind of policy, isn't it? It's like, let's build a wall, a huge wall.
Yeah, and he thinks, people won't get around that. It's like, it's not a problem getting through a wall, Donald. I mean, people can tunnel under it. It's not a problem, that, a wall. Yeah. We're going to build it. That's his best policy. We're going to build a wall! Just build a wall, just how high? Just keep building it, higher, up to the moon. If we have to build up the moon, we will.
It worked for Hadrian, didn't it, I suppose? But
I don't know if he does. He's not around anymore.
No, he's old news. Yeah, good point.
All we need is Boris in power down here, and it'll be a full house.
Yeah. Hey, did you hear, by the way, I had Barry Gibb. Say love! In his tight trousers and his tight white suit. But he was saying, and I tend to agree with him. Now, we had a bit of a rally in the markets. We are recording this before the Friday session, so we don't know what Friday happened. But he said, and I agree with this, he said, Brexit vote is the biggest uncertainty the UK markets has ever seen or will ever see. And I believe that, because if you remember, we had a bit of a crash and a shake-up in the market just for the Scottish referendum. And that was just for the Scots, you know. Hey, the vote is in, vote is out. And that was Scottish there. I do a lot of impressionists who have to say the name of the person they're doing when they're doing it, you know? I like that. Yes. Okay, you need to do that. Billy Connolly, that's right! Ah! Oh, yeah, and that just proves... Anyway, but yes. I believe this on the Brexit. You know, I think we are... I mean, you know, don't believe the hype. Because we will rally a little bit, a seasonal rally. But I honestly think we're going to have a massive sell-off. A massive... You know, the size of, Pete's undercarriage there. Massive!
So what are you basing the idea that it's going to be a rally and then a sell-off? Well,
I'll tell you why. Very rarely has sterling sold off, like it has, disjointed from the market, dislocated from the markets. Mm. Now, the fastest way to react, so I heard someone say actually, the fastest way to react to a policy is in the currency markets, and they're bigger than the equity markets, currency markets. Mm. And so the fastest way to work out is sterling going down, and it's gone down by 10%, something ridiculous. And now there's a chance for another 10% fall. And this dislocation doesn't happen for long before the markets catch up. And so and Barry looked at the stats, he said it happened twice, and he pinpointed two major incidents in British history. But where it dislocated for a while, and then, though, the market's caught up. And so we've got this, you know, this unknown global problem anyway, and then China and everything else slowing down, and oil, you know, is the price of oil just a reflection on the slowdown of the global economy? Because you could say, you know, maybe it doesn't lie that. Plus, we've got this now uncertainty, major uncertainty. Like the old saying, you know, markets can price in debt. They can do that, but they can't price in uncertainty. And so what they do, they tend to overreact, just in case, because they never underreact generally. They overreact, and then there's a pullback. So the chances are we will have a major correction, and then, though, it's almost like getting rid of cash, then get ready to buy, because it will bounce back like crazy. And so we know that maybe the bottom of the market we see come June time. It should be just before June, really. But, so hold on to it's like a roller coaster, white knuckle ride.
But so you say it's going to be.
Right, sorry. The man in the back with the funny ears. Yes, the man with the lipstick on and the curly hair, Stephen.
That'll be me. So funny you're ears. In June, it'll be
the man with the funny ears, lipstick, and man with the funny ears, lipstick, and curly hair. Go on, the glasses. Yeah, the one with the lazy eye. Yes, you, Steve.
So you're saying it's going to be its lowest in June.
Well, I think it will. I think June will hit the...
Justin, yeah. Let's all listen to Justin. I'm not going to listen to Justin too closely on that.
It's not worked for me so far.
Well, no, what do you mean? What are you talking about? I've said that we will be in for a bear market. And yes. You will be convinced...
Well, you were in a bear market.
In a bear market, that's what you market. Can you market, you know what I mean, Steve? Oh, look at the Ben market here. I think that will, you know, put the bottom, hopefully, under a market maybe, and but we will have a correction there. I mean, I'm talking down to like 5,000 in the FTSE, you know? Big correction. It will happen. And don't be convinced by these rallies we're seeing. I mean, if I get up a chart here, the FTSE, UK FTSE there, and look, actually, let's refresh this. And just look at that. We need to get over 6,200 at the moment to really, you know, continue the upward trend. And where are we? Are we at 6,100 or something like that? And as you see, we're having, you know, volatility is crazy. Yes. No, I'd say even 6,400 to carry on the trend pretty much of where we've been going. So we're up to 58. We're about at the moment. Yeah, right about 6,000. So we need a 500-point rally. And I can't see it. You can draw a line on the highs of the FTSE 100, and he keeps banging his head on that and coming back down, and the grind, lower lows, lower highs, not a good sign. So yeah. So all I'm saying is, if you can get in a bit of cash, do. I've been trying to get in a bit of cash because it is opportunity. Listen, the stock market always recovers. That's why equities are by far the best investment class you can invest in, you know? You may not think it now at the moment, but this risk is what you pay for the reward, you know? So you have to take on the risk to get the reward. If you've got a safe asset class, you know, bonds, then there's less volatility, but there's less return. So over the long term, there's always better returns in equity. But like I said, it's how to really compound that return is to sit back, relax, and wait for the big sell-off. Then buy in. You know what I'm saying? Well,
do you know what? Funny enough, do you remember last week you were saying about my Royal Dutch Shell, and you said if it gets a little spike, sell out for now and get the cash in?
Yes. Well, you didn't do that, did you? I was joking.
Well, funny you say that. Not on my main, my ISA of Royal Dutch Shell, but I've got some more in a fund shell. Funds share. And I put in a cell, is it cell kill, whatever it's called? Anyway,
a cell kill, that's right. I called up the broker and said, can you put in a cell kill? Who do you want to kill? Anyone?
Anyway, but I put it on. So on the weekend we did it. So I did it like £16 something, and it peaked on that on Monday and sold me out. And then obviously it hasn't gone up there since. So I've cashed out a nice bit of profit there.
That was good work, Stephen. So yeah, is that was it a limit order or just a stop order? Wasn't it stop order? Is it?
Well, when it hit the price, it sold out. And it,
yeah, well, if you look there. Hang on, if you look, there was a 16:30. It rallied to 16:34. Right, that's the high it's been. And then on Monday, didn't quite get to that. Got about 16:20 odd. So even then, it's not hitting the highs there. But yeah, so this literally, you can draw a line under. I mean, there are some. The Royal Dutch Shell price is pretty much opposite to the FTSE in the last month or so. It's been going up, higher lows and higher highs. So you may see it go higher. But Steve, listen, no one can, you know, time it perfectly. And I think, you know, with a plan to get back in after summer, it's a good call, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm just taking your advice and getting a bit of cash built up. I'm burying my nuts as the squirrels would do.
Well, yeah, well, I wouldn't do that in this weather, Steve. It's going to be very cold.
Bury my cash ready for this.
Yeah. I got a horrible picture of Steve in the garden there, just the trousers down.
With his nuts.
Man there in the pink hot pants, yes, with the curly afro. Yes, with the pink glasses.
So go back sort of 6 months when you were 6 months ago when you were like selling your children to buy Royal Dutch Shell shares, and you know you were stockpiling them and saying, "Oh, I'm going to keep these for 10 years or whatever." Are you saying now that your complete outlook on that has changed, or
no? I'm not. I realised I was a little bit overly bearish. I mean, I've got more, you know, funds to put into Royal Dutch Shell at lower levels. What I wouldn't mind doing, at the peak there, I was running about sort of 7% off, I think, breaking even, you know. Mm-hmm. But I mean, obviously, I'm now acquiring about 1,300 quid each quarter in dividends, you know. So that's averaging down for me. But what I wouldn't mind doing is if it does break that high there and I get into a bit of profit, I wouldn't mind top slicing a bit, ready to put under the bottom a bit more. So, you know. Yeah. I don't want to.
But what sort of proportion are you talking of your holding? Would you top slice, as you say?
Oh, you always want to know my holding, didn't you? I don't know. I don't know.
Listen, a percentage.
Yeah, I know. I'd say about 10, 20, you know, 10, 15, 20%. Depends how much I mean. Because I do, but honestly, I'm convinced. I mean, you know, you put your house on it, you know. There will be a correction of the summer due to the Brexit. Yes. And other things as well. Have you noticed it's gone quiet in China now? It's quiet. Listen, nothing's changed in China, but everything goes quiet. It's odd. Like, you know, obviously the world media needs something to focus on, you know? They need something. We have 24-hour, you know, rolling news channels, and a lot of this is sentiment-driven, of course, but nothing's changed in China. If there is bigger debt going on there, it's still happening, you know?
Yeah.
So it's gone quiet for now. It'll rear its head. And when the big bad news comes out, there'll be more bad news from China.
But people like you being so kind of, not fickle, well, you are being quite fickle in terms of just going, oh, no, right now, sell it and, you know, get my profit and run for the hills, as opposed to flipping from buying to selling to, you know, trying to play the market rather than just buying and holding long term, ride out the storms. I'm talking FTSE stock here. I'm not talking of the small caps. I mean, they're a bit different, aren't they? You've got to be careful with that because they're so volatile. But the big stocks that we're talking about, the big FTSE stocks, I don't know, yeah, you can try and be clever and get some profit and that, you know, but can you really predict too much?
Yeah, you're right, Peter. You're right. You're absolutely right. I have been a bit fickle. And no, I thought that last week and I thought, but do you know what? I don't want to sell any of my Royal Dutch Shell shares because I honestly believe that the oil price will be higher this time next year than it is now. And I mean, you know, 10, you know, 15 bucks higher, consistently higher. Yes. So that way it'll rally. And if you look at the Royal Dutch Shell share price now, It looks good, you know. It really does look strong. It's rallying up. It's forming, you know, like I said, higher highs and higher lows. And so how far can it go? It needs to sort of break that previous high. It was on last Friday, I think, which is 1630-odd. If it doesn't, it's coming down again. But that's, you know, I do believe in accumulating this because I do think we'll have a momentous rally in oil stocks. I mean, you know, you're hearing stories every week about demand of companies or the amount of production coming off. And it's happening, you know. We know it's in a couple of years. I know people saying renewable energy is only 5-10 years away, but this is going to happen within the next 2 years. You know, we know within 2 years the oil price will be at a higher level. There'll be, because once we see the first sign of, you know, the glut stopping, that'll be it. Because you realise then you can't turn it back. You can't. When the overproduction stops, and even though there will be still a surplus, once that overproduction, when we hit that equilibrium. Yes. The oil price will start to rally like crazy because you realize
and demand is still there, isn't it? And demand is
yeah. So because it'll be even if there's a billion barrels, I don't know how many they are, but you know, a million barrels in surplus. Once that, you know, realizes it's not going up anymore, there'll be a lag, you know, before you can actually do that. There's gonna be a lag of like 18 months, 2 years before that. So, it'll go through the roof, oil price, and I don't want to be out of the game then, I don't want to miss the biggest. You know,
but I just think it's interesting. Like, markets are driven by the whole sentiment and people and the psychology of it all. And you being you and being a little bit fickle and a bit, but also being quite vocal about it. And then you've got people like Steve listening to that and go, "Oh, right, I'll sell this week."
that's why last week.
You.
Yeah, no, last week you know, bearish, and I that's why I text you saying there's no rush. You know, you have a couple of months if you want to. All I'm thinking here, I think there's opportunity. If you're in good dividend-paying stocks, right, there's opportunity to buy them at lower levels. That's what I think. Come June, July, maybe, you know, and I think, like I said, you've got plenty of time here. I'm not talking about sell tomorrow. I was messing around at the end of the podcast last week. I'm not saying that. I'm saying take advantage of the seasonal rally here, and this rally now will ebb and flow and hopefully go towards the higher end, towards April, May, and then top slice of it. Like I said, how long back did I say I put in my diary in April, slice back and scale back? That's still the thought, you know. I'm still thinking, like, if you're sitting on cash and you're in profit there, start thinking about, you know, easing out, get a bit of cash with the intention of buying at lower levels, because I mean, that's, you know, it's the way it works. Not getting it, not wholesale selling out of everything.
No,
I'm just thinking, if you're in stocks and you look at the chart and they're at like a year high, then it's probably time to, you know, scale back a bit and get a bit of cash with the intention of buying some more later on at a better level, that's all.
As long as that level then materialises and we don't actually see, you know, things calm down with China and the Brexit thing or whatever, and that the downturn doesn't happen, and you don't actually see the low levels that you're hoping for.
Yeah, but that's why someone said to me, why are you scaling out now? What if it's a rally? What if it's a rally? I'm still in. I'm not out. I'm not condoning wholesale sell of everything.
No.
I'm just saying if you're at the highs in any of your stocks at the moment, next couple of months, you know, if you're looking at the highs, which you could do, you know, seasonality will rally.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised how much of a rally we can have.
Steve, have you completely sold your holding of Royal Dutch Shell, or are you?
No. I put, remember when I said I thought I hit the low about a month or so ago of Royal Dutch Shell and I put an extra £3,000 in?
Nice.
So I basically, that was like £400 up and it just cashed out. So it was money I wanted to get out anyway. So it wasn't any influence really from Justin. But it was.
He kind of made
me think, actually, I'll just put in a random quite high and it just peaked to that and obviously sold out. So I was like, oh, I'm not going to complain. And it has dropped down. So if I wanted, I could buy back in now.
That's a way of thinking, doing it, is to put a stop order in. It's something where it's high. That's a good thing to do because it'll take that high out and then you're in a bit of profit. And I'm not saying sell losses because, you know, the market's going to crash tomorrow. It won't, you know.
Mm.
And there is plenty of evidence saying, you know, if you're a dividend investor and reinvest dividends, then the long-term game is the game to play. Of course it is. But we're a little bit more active than that. So I'm thinking, if you want to play seasonality, you can, you know.
The other thing to look at then is the ex-dividend date as well, isn't it? You've got to be careful when you're not missing that.
Yeah, that was okay. Steve's done that. It was the 18th, wasn't it?
I'm sure Steve checked that, yeah.
Yeah, of course you
Well, know. It was only, it wouldn't have been that much. So I made more money by cashing out, obviously, from the profit than that.
Yeah, but you still get the extra stock to Steve. You still get paid, you see, for that. You still get paid for the amount of shares. If you registered with them, but that was, when did you sell out?
On Tuesday. No, Monday or Tuesday? I can't remember when that spike was. Monday?
Oh, it's the 17th. No, hang on. What day is it today?
It wasn't the 17th. It was
on Monday, it was.
19th, is it?
22nd.
22nd.
What?
Yeah.
22nd?
Yeah, Monday just gone.
Oh, okay, you're fine. So you will get paid anyway.
He's played the stormer there, hasn't he? He's played it.
Fair play, Steve.
Steve's playing the markets now, isn't he?
Oh, he nicked the dividend and he sold out at a high. He's laughing. Yeah.
I'm going to start calling him Steve Markets instead of Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Steve Markets, I like that.
Amazing. Yeah. Well done, Steve.
But remember, though, he's the reason why everyone sold. It's this guy, not China or Greece. It's Steve. Welcome back to CNBC. We discovered why the market's tanking. It's a guy in Cardiff called Steve. Yeah.
But I still have the majority of my rolled up shell in my ISA all still there, and I've not touched that. That's my long stock, really. So that's just going to sit there and make me rich.
You are just basically now acquiring dividends, acquiring units in your rolled up shell. And then in a couple of years' time, don't worry about that. It'll smash through that last high you saw, 26 quid, quite easily, because there'll be panic over, you know, the lack of rigs, lack of people employed, you know, in trained in the actual... Did you hear that? Alan Green, actually, interesting, talking to his neighbour who's in the oil services industry. He travels all around the world.
Yes.
And he said he's 30-odd. He said he's one of the oldest, one of the youngest guys in that industry. Most of the guys are old. He said, and at the moment, they're not taking on new people, retraining them or training in that field. So it's all, you know, from every level of this infrastructure in this industry, in the oil industry, there's problems from, you know, from having trained staff to, you know, just equipment and anything, everything, and even drilling the fields. Like, you know, so there's going to be an issue here in a couple of years' time. And, you know, we may have got in, you could say, a bit early. Well, I did, certainly. I bought in 6 months ago, or more than that, rolled up shell. But, you know, if you hold for long term, you'd be laughing. Because, I mean, I'm breaking even at 17 quid anyway. So that's still, you know, relatively quite a low of rolled up shell, you know, considering I've been scaling in for like over 6 months, you know?
Yeah. Good.
Anyway, I've been buying just small little amounts this week of this stock that I think are at bargain level basement. They're small cap stocks, you know? Mm. And one of them was Centera Energy. Another of them was... Ascent Resources, and I've got to say, Steve, you can poke fun at me as I did laugh at you for Aited Energy. I made the big mistake on IRG. I had this for a bit of a punch stock. I took about I'd say about 20% profit on that, which is, you know, frankly, it's okay, but it shot up by 200%, which, yes, I missed out on completely. I missed 200% worth of profit there just because I was impatient and I thought they were going through. I thought the lights were going to go off on this. But if you look at the IRG, it's a bit of a, you know, what happened there? Can you see what happens when you go from a hopeless story to a story with a bit of hope, you know? It's almost like a Rocky film. You imagine Rocky, you know, and it's like, you know, he's getting hammered there. Come on, Rocky! And he's on the floor, he's on the canvas. Rocky! And he looks like he's down now. His eyes are swollen up, his blood is, he can't see. Goes back to the corner. Mickey, I'm going to cut my eyes. And so, you know, Mickey cuts his eyes, he can't see. And it looks like there's no hope for Rocky. He's on the ropes, he's on the floor, he's on the canvas, he's rolling around. He's dead, out for count. All of a sudden, you hear the music in the background, so and he turns and he sees Adrian in the crowd. I love you, Rocky! And he goes, and all of a sudden, he comes out fighting, you know, knocks Clubber Lang on the floor, first punch, whoo, and he's got new energy. It goes from being the round before, that's what it is now, IRG and 88 energy, the round before where it looks like it's dead hope. It's over for Rocky. It's over, Rocky, it's over. Mm. No, Adrian. Oh, I'm going to go close the leg.
Are we still doing the podcast?
Sorry, yeah. Sorry, Rocky, what are you saying? Just speak the words, the lines you've got. Are you not like this? Pardon? The lines on the script. I don't mean what I mean. He's obviously got brain damage already. Just get out and fight Rocky. Brain damage. You're nothing. I don't mean it. But anyway, he gets out there and he wins. He wins a fight. That's what happens with Aited Energy and IRG. You know, it's almost like lights out session. That's it. Call the referee. It's done. He's done. And all of a sudden you see a bit of life in Rocky, and it's not in his brain, but it's in his muscle somewhere. There's some that was IRG, you know, IRG there was on death throes there. But all of a sudden you see the placing, nothing. It was like 36 grand. That's all it was. for a market cap of like 600,000 or whatever. They did a placing. Now they got no money, and they did a placing and raised 36 grand. It rose 200% on that. That's wow. That one lasts them a week or couple, two weeks. Yeah. But the difference is, it's gone from hopeless to a bit of hope, a glint of hope, and that you get those kind of rallies are the most aggressive you'll ever see. Yeah. When you got a stock on the ropes here, a fighter on the ropes, and all of a sudden you hear the Rocky music, the theme tune come in. That's what happens. You know what I'm saying? So I basically, in that scenario. I Rocky was on the floor. He looked like he wouldn't make it to the end of the round. And all of a sudden, he got up and walked to his stool. I decided, right, I'm selling there. He's managed to get the thing. He may not make it to the next round. And all of a sudden, next round, he's come out fighting. He said, what's going on here? So I sold because he made it to the end to his stool. That's all, in the corner, in his corner. You know what I'm saying, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, but then again, he came out. But you know, we can extend this. Analogy.
Well,
yeah,
we don't have to.
Yeah.
I can hear the demand then for the extended analogy.
But anyway. Sequel? Rocky 2, Rocky 3, Rocky 4,
But exactly. No, exactly. So that's what's going on. But anyway, but Santera, I was sitting in the dentist and they're always late in my dentist. Always. They tell me to come up for like 3:30. I get there for 3:30, they see me at 4:00. You know, but if I go there at 4:00 and they're on time, they'd find me. So I was going, why not? Why am I wasting my time? Luckily, though, time well spent. I was scrolling through my phone there. I looked at some of the low penny shares. I saw Centera, which is it's a shell. It's floated on the main market. It has £1 million in cash, and it was worth the market cap was just around about that.
Yeah.
And of course, the floating a listing itself is worth, anything from say £500,000 to £1 million. So, it's sitting there, and I'm thinking, wow, the placing, the original placing was 5 pence. I thought this is just about 4 pence. I don't know what I put a limit order in of 4 pence. Didn't get filled, on the Wednesday, but then Thursday morning it dipped down again and dipped back up after the podcast I mentioned as well. So dipped down, filled me, went back up. So nice, yeah, that's all right, wasn't it?
So how's that fitting in with your bearish strategy?
Well, this is, I think these are, at a lot of the time, right, you will see when there's a horrible market, and there's liquidity and everything's selling off, AIM stocks get hit, or small stocks get hit.
Yeah.
But sometimes AIM stocks are generally completely dislocated, especially when they're, at the low of the low of the low, they can't seem to go any further, and they're trading on cash values. There's no risk there. There's not a lot of risk, I don't think, because that is a cash value. The stock is worth more than that. Even if tomorrow someone come in, it's like that's what Warren Buffett says: value stocks. It's a value stock there. That's worth it's cash value. So it's at a low. So I decided to put a limit on it just below the low, and they filled me, and it bounced off that. It was oversold, but I think all they need to release, they haven't released any news what's happening, but all they need to release is a bit of news here. Now I tell you what's interesting, boys. And Ascent Resources came on.
Yes,
now,
I heard that.
The gas producer in Slovenia.
Yes,
and. They have had an issue selling gas into the Slovenian market. They need an IPPC permit. They applied for that. Looks like it was going ahead. Then two rival sort of companies, appealed. But it looks like they've been swept away. But they've also discovered two other ways of putting gas to market. They can get someone else to do the gas processing. They can outsource that if they want to. They don't need their own permit. Or there's a methanol plant next door, which was mothballed, and now is opening back up, which they sell the gas onto. So, ideally, they get the IPPC permit and get the most return for their buck on the gas. Now, that looks like it's been brought forward to March. It looks like it's going to be 6 months. So it would have been in June or sometime. But it looks like now they're going to have a decision in March. So there, with the name stock that's been beaten down, the price, the placing was at 1 pence. I bought 0.99 pence. So, there is a lot of funds at penny. I managed to get a bit below that. And we have a definite date where there's going to be positive news coming out. This IPPC permit will be given to them. So we know it'll fly on that because they have like 456 BCF of gas in ground there, which is worth about 200 million euros. They're a market cap of 1.5 million.
What's their ticker code, Justin?
It's AST. AST. But I'm saying that the issue they've got 12 million of bank debt, but listen, they'll be turning over between 1 and 2 million a month anyway, And I think that bank debt would be nothing. You know, there's 200 million worth of reserves there, and yet they're a 12 million bank debt, but they're only marking up at 1.5 million. So once they get that IPC certificate, you know, it'll fly. If you can get that, you know, close to one pence, put a limit order there. That's what I'm doing at the moment. I'm not chasing stocks. I'm putting limit orders in.
Yeah.
And it's getting filled, you know. And they're almost, because they're oversold, they're jumping back up. It's quite nice, actually, doing that. In there.
But what sort of expiry date are you putting on your limit orders?
I just put 3 months, you know, maximum, you know.
Right, okay.
Well, I make sure they are at a low, you know. And so I'm basically picking off bargains there. And
so you're putting a buy order at sort of the recent lows?
With small capital, look at placing prices, you know. Mm. If it's not been down there, but it's looking like it's flirting that area, put a limit order in there. And, you know, there'll be a bit of support there just because, you know, investors have bought there and they've raised money at that level. If you can get a little bit before investors who are in the placing price, expose it, you know, at an advantageous position to you.
Yeah.
If you can get it, sneak it out before them, under them, then that's always good. You know.
When do you say that decision's being made on the IPCC?
Well, it's going to be next end of March, I reckon. It should be end of March. You've got a month there. There's a window there. You know, there's a time frame where this good news could be happening. And that's always good to, rather than just investing in a stock, bigger stocks pay dividends, fine, stay in them for a while. But with smaller stocks, you've got to have some kind of action point, you know, something that's going to happen, change the story.
Yeah.
And so that may change the story. So it's worth looking into. What's the price of those today? They went up again today. So they're a buy, you know. In fact, the offer now is, I think, is 1.15. I got them at 0.99. Nice. 99 pence, yay! No, £1.99. Why do we always seem to get a bargain with 99 pence? Isn't that something?
I don't know.
And I'm paying £10 for it. £9.99? Oh, cheap.
Ooh, I see right through it. It's a pound.
See, nothing's fooling Steve. Mm.
It's
and
a
I
pound?
Think these stocks are pennies. So they're not. It's 0.99.
They're not always a penny.
Do you go on your Asda and just go there and say, oh, look, you're trying to sell that for £9.99. See straight through it. I'll give you a tenner. Yeah, I will give you £10, not £9.99. See straight through that. Is that your policy, Steve? I'm not giving you £9.99, no. Tenner. Yeah. Take a tenner or nothing.
I've just sold my Royal Dutch Shell shares. I'm loaded.
Yeah. They wanted £15.99. I said, no, I'll give you £16. Nothing. I'll see straight through that. You think I'm stupid or something? Did I ever tell you a friend of mine said that to me? Looked at me and my other friend, and he said me and my friend was Lee, and this boy had been left school and he went to I think special school somewhere, but we saw him working on the local market stall. And we said Ronald, what's going on, fella? And he started bigging up his school, you know, it wasn't a special needs school, it was just for troublesome kids essentially. Bit like a postal, you know. But he said, oh, it's cracking, this new school is better than the one you're going to now. And he kept really bigging it up and saying, and he said, go canoeing, go shooting squirrels, everything. I thought, what are you talking about? And I said to him, you don't go shooting squirrels. So yes, we do, guns and everything. I said, they give you guns in school to shoot squirrels. Yeah, we go out in the woods shooting as many squirrels as we want to. I said, I don't think that's the truth, Ronald. And he looked at me straight in the eye, said, Lee, I'm not stupid. I'm Justin, that's Lee. I said, well, we do shoot squirrels anyway. So they're cracking school. Anyway.
That's good, yes. Very good.
Any other questions from the lady in the corner? Lady scratching your crotch. Yes,
not questions. It was nice to see Lloyds Bank having a little bit of a rally.
Yes, wasn't Sweet. It?
Was
are you still
nuts.
Are you still holding Lloyds?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah. I'm a big fan of Lloyds.
Didn't they up the dividend apparently?
Yeah, they're an additional. What's it called? Additional dividend. I can't remember what it's called. But yes, super special dividend. That's right. Super special, smashing great dividend.
We got a lovely special dividend for
you. Super smashing great dividend.
So quite patronising, isn't it? We got a special dividend for special people.
Yeah,
special Pete and special Steve.
Peter, yeah. But I just thought it was quite an interesting, because the PPI thing's still hanging around.
That will never go away.
It'll never go away, I know, exactly. But it was nice to see that the news about the dividend outweighed that, and we saw a sort of 12% rise on the Thursday because of the news. And that's quite nice, because this year the banking stocks have been hammered, and you know, you're starting to wonder whether it's a good idea to be holding a stock, and you get a bit of a rally. It kind of restores your faith, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I can imagine being like a, you know, an 80-year-old person who shouldn't be driving, really. You know, should have had to retake my test. I can imagine just driving along, smashing into a wall, almost dying, and, you know, reaching for my phone, and the phone rings, pick it up, and someone says, did you know you can still claim on PPI? And that'll still be around,
right, yes,
you know, on my deathbed, that PPI. Yes. You can claim £4,300 on PPI. Shut up! I'm dying! Yes! Well, get your PPI claiming now! You've only got a week left! And, it's so annoying, PPI. It will never go away from us. It's one of those things that'll always be there. But there we are.
The fines for it seem to be on every
report. Yeah, they put aside next year, and they more than they have last year, which is like nuts.
Yeah.
Will it ever be away from us? Have you ever got any money from PPI, Steve?
I've never checked.
There's still time, Pella. There's still time. In
well,
fact,
I'm quite sensible. I don't take out any of these stupid insurance plans.
It doesn't matter. Do you know what? They even give it to people. You can be as vague as possible and get some PPI claimage back. You know, honestly, you could say, oh, listen, I once paid for a cassette player. I bought a warranty or something, and the man said I can get PPI or something like that. They say, how much is it? You say, £5,000. I say, okay, we'll send you a check.
I don't think it quite works like that.
This is that bad. No, honestly, anyone at all can claim. You come from a different country and never been here when the PPI scandal was on. PPI. So how much did you? 10,000. Okay, sir. Where do you live? I have no house. So, okay. Where should we send the check? Send it to a bin. Ah, next to the kebab shop. And that's easy. you got a PPI!
Right, okay. Good.
That's the way it goes. So you give it to anyone, Steve. If you haven't claimed PPI, you're nuts. That's why most of the immigrants are trying to get into the country, just to claim PPI.
And we're back honestly. To Steve's nuts. Oh, it's gone full circle.
Honestly, right. as long as you've got a phone and a voice, and you can say, PPI! That's all you need to say. And they've even got, you know, you go to London, they've even got, you know, learn English classes. That's the first thing they teach them.
Is it? Yeah.
All you need to, don't say hello, yes or please or thank you. PPI! And you get that.
Qualify.
So if you want, first of all, you don't go for benefits. First of all, go for PPI. That will last you a year. Then you go, then while you're living off the PPI, you get, you just get benefits. You learn to speak English, you get an address. But first of all, PPI.
I would love to know who is still listening to the podcast at this time.
You are.
Let us know.
PPI.
I really don't think anyone is.
Just text. Just tweet me. PPI.
Yes.
And if you are PPI. So
I think what you should do is encourage people to get their PPI payments and invest in Lloyd's Bank.
Exactly, that's the best way to do it, yeah.
That would be good for us, or for me.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Right, PPI, fellas.
Okay, yes, lovely.
Bye.
Say PPI, Steve.
PPI, bye.
PPI.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The people on this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about, so please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation, as it's just opinion. Please do your own research.
Save on quality sofas, sectionals, top brand mattresses, and more during Haverty's President's Day sale. Find the style of furniture you've been looking for at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.